Good evening. I'm filling in for Nathan. I'm for David. This is normally David's night of ministry. School's out for a week and everybody's scattered. But I'm glad that you're here. I'm going to share in a ministry tonight that if you just keep one thing in mind as I go through this, that living by faith is not hard. It all has to do with attitude. If your attitude is set right, living by faith is not hard at all. And if you kind of keep that in the back of your mind, it'll help you as we go through this particular area of ministry. Go with me to 1 Peter chapter 3, and I want to read verse 8 through verse number 12. And remember what I'm asking you to do. Remember the one word, attitude. Everybody say attitude. Attitude. You have a choice. You have a choice in your attitude. A lot of people don't think that they do, but you do. So if you remember this, you can learn to set your sails properly. You can learn to study truths and come to the right conclusions and apply them to your life. So listen carefully to what Peter writes, and Peter's going to quote from David in the Old Testament. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse number 8 through 12. Peter says, to sum up, all of you be harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead. For you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. For the one who desires life to love and see good days must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears attend to their prayer. But the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. In 1974, I began to realize through study, through teaching, through listening to good teaching, to reading good books, I began to realize that there are some truths in the Bible, some life-changing truths that can be found in the Bible. And if you'll learn them, they'll forever change how you live. And it did for us. They have to be learned. They have to be applied. And even today, when I find myself slipping a little bit, I realize that I'm neglecting certain truths that apply to a believer's walk. And so there's many lessons that are very important to believers. One of them we teach a lot here at Christian Challenge, which is the security of the believer. We strongly believe that that's God's message from the Bible. But another very valuable spiritual truth or lesson has to do with learning how to walk in covenant life or walk in a covenant relationship with the Lord. And what I mean by that is that many blessings are not automatic. We think they're automatic. They're really not automatic. They're not earned blessings. They are lived blessings. You don't earn your blessing from God. You learn to live in them. And this is what Peter's talking about when he quotes from David. And these things called lived blessings never change. They're equal in the Old Testament. They're equal in the New Testament. So what Peter is telling us here is that we can learn to live in the flow of God's blessings in our life. He's telling us that we can. And we can learn to live in the flow of blessing by applying certain spiritual truths that Peter outlines in our text. So we're going to look at that tonight. Our lesson, our subject is lessons for living. Lessons for living. Let's pray. Father, we give honor to your holy name, thanking you for the awesome moment that becomes ours as we gather in the name of Jesus, that you always, always meet with your children wherever they gather and whatever place they gather. You meet in a very unique and special way, I think, largely to teach us, to instruct us by your Spirit, to lay upon our hearts things that we need to know and seek after and to understand. So help me, Holy Father, I pray in the name of Jesus to minister correctly and let our hearts be stirred with the things that Peter's telling us that come from David's writings. I thank you, Father, for it. In Jesus' name. Now, we're talking about applying certain spiritual truths that's outlined in our text. And the first spiritual truth that you have to learn to apply to your life is to learn how to live in spiritual harmony. This is actually every other truth is going to rest on this particular truth, because this first truth has to do with community and it has to do with marriage. Everything else is going to rest on this truth. Now, what Peter's been doing, he's been dealing with marriage, but it's much broader than that. It actually reaches into the covenant community. If you look at verse number 7 through 9, I want to read a little more of a background here. Peter said, "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way, as with someone weaker, since she is a woman, and show her honor." Everybody see that statement? "Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." To sum up, again, the marriage, but again, community life, let all be what? Harmonious, sympathetic, brotherly, kind-hearted, and humble in spirit, not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. Now, if you'll notice, he said to show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life. And the important thing to understand is that all of God's people share equally in the grace of the new covenant. That is, you have equal standing before God. And what Peter is telling, in this case, the men, and he talks to the ladies earlier, but it applies to all of us. What he's telling us that in the case of the marriage, he's saying, "Men, you need to understand her prayers are just as important as your prayers. She has equal standing before the throne of God. She's equal to you when it comes to covenant relationship with God. And you need to always treat her as an equal partner or an equal heir in your marriage relationship." Well, think about this in the broader context of community, that every brother and sister that belongs to God has equal standing with every other brother and sister. There's no big I and little you. And it's important that we understand that, because this is where spiritual harmony actually comes from. And Paul bears witness to this. If you'll go to Galatians, we're going to work from here also. Go back to Galatians for a moment, chapter number 3, and listen carefully to what Paul says. He's addressing a very similar issue, but he broadened it somewhat. In Galatians chapter 3, verse number 27, Galatians 3 and 27, "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ." How many of you have been baptized into Christ? Well, I see the ladies lifted your hand, men lifted your hand. Some of you, all of you have, I'm assuming. Well, this is talking about all of us. "For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourselves with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free man. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's descendants, heirs according to promise." And so how does this summary, when Peter's talking about, come back to 1 Peter 3, he's given us a summary on spiritual harmony, which we said is the basic truth that every other truth needs to rest on in covenant life. How does this summary end? Look at verse number 9 once again. Something we're not to do. Not doing what? Not returning evil for evil or insult for insult, but giving a blessing instead, for you were called for the very purpose that you might inherit a blessing. This is the number one key to covenant life. I wish I had time just to minister on this, but we don't have time to do that. If I could just apply it to the marriage, I could tell you this is one of the most awesome truths you'll ever learn in a marriage, is that your wife and husband, you are covenant partners. And there's no more powerful unit on this planet than a husband and his wife who learn to live in unity, in harmony, and in love and learning to give the blessings instead of reacting against situation. But again, we're going to apply this to the entire community of Christ. Now, this ties into verse 12, which I didn't read. Well, I did read it. But listen to verse 12. For the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears attend to their prayer, but the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. That's a very broad statement. What he's saying, whether you're a child of God or whether you're not a child of God, you're doing evil, God's not going to appreciate it. If you're doing good, God's going to bless it. So this is the basic thing we need to learn, first of all, is oneness, spiritual harmony with heaven, spiritual harmony in our family, spiritual harmony in the church, spiritual harmony with your brothers and sisters. That's number one, but I want you to see that. The second spiritual truth that Peter's talking about here is to learn to control your heart and your speaking. Now, this truth is deeply personal, but it is something that you must do. I could give you a ton of scriptures, but I don't think we need to do that. Listen to verse number 10. The one who desires life to love and see good days must. Everybody say must. Something you must do. He must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking deceit. This is the second spiritual truth that Peter's talking about here. Some things that we must do. I realize this kind of teaching can become twisted, but yet this particular truth about what's coming from your mouth is taught from Genesis through Revelation. It is an end-to-end teaching. It never changes. And what he's saying is that if we want to have life and love and have good days, then those good days are going to directly connect to what's coming out of your mouth. I'm trying to avoid getting into some strange charismatic confession teachings, but the basic truth is never going to change, even though this seems like an elusive thing. But if we don't learn to control our heart and control what's coming out of our mouth, then guess what's going to happen in your life? You're going to start harvesting things that are coming forth. Your words actually create a harvest. You understand what I'm trying to say? This is what Peter's trying to tell us. This is what David is trying to tell us. One of the most valuable truths you will ever learn, other than harmony. And this links to the first one that we talked about. You have to learn to keep your tongue in check. What does the Bible call a spiritually perfect, mature man? Do you remember in James chapter 3? If you back up for a moment, listen very carefully. James chapter 3. These are not things we want to ignore, folks. So we're talking about lessons for living, and this is the second spiritual truth that we need to apply according to Peter. If you look at James chapter 3, and just verse number 2, for we all stumble in many ways. How many folks have ever stumbled? Well, you stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle his whole body as well. Now, this is an allusion to the course of your life. That the course of your life has much to do with your attitude about life. Much to do with what's going on in your heart. Much to do with what's coming on out of your mouth. Do you see the value of this here? Now, I want you to drop down to one more scripture in James chapter 3, verse number 6. And the tongue is a fire, the very world of iniquity. The tongue is set among our members as that which defiles the entire body. Now, I hope you catch it. And sets on fire the course of our life, and is set on fire by hell. Now, you have to understand what James is saying. He's speaking to a Jewish synagogue that's a great mixture of Christians and probably some who are borderline Christians. And they're having a lot of problems in this area. And he's speaking of a truth. He said, the course of your life is set in place by your tongue. Now, I know we can get wacky here, but how many of you folks know that your salvation course is set by your tongue? Romans chapter number 10. All you have to do is read Romans chapter number 10, and it tells you that the course of your life pertaining to salvation is set in place by your tongue. And James is expanding on this, and a lot of people, people that don't learn to control their tongue, people that gossip, people that slander, people that cause problems around them, people that are always, you know, judging and condemning and criticizing, they have more problems in their own heart and in their own mind and their own lives than they would ever want, because they're creating this matrix of problems for themselves. Isn't this what Peter's talking about here? Listen once again. Just listen to it once again. And this is not a lengthy ministry, folk, but I felt it was something we needed to look at. Look at verse 10 once again. The one who desires life, to love and see good days, must do something. Must do what? Must keep his tongue from evil and his lips from speaking guile. I don't know whether you know it or not, folks, but the greater sins in your life come through your mouth. They're not just fleshly sins. They're actually spiritual sins. Sins that cause, that speak of deceit or speak of, you know, in the book of Proverbs, there's certain things that the Bible says God hates, and he hates someone that causes division and so forth. These are things that come from your mouth. You learn to control your mouth by learning to control your heart, because your mouth is attached to your heart, folks, according to the Lord himself. And then you're going to find your life on a good course, the way that it flows. That's why I said to you earlier that faith is an attitude. It is a way that you learn to approach life, and you learn to apply God's truth to your lives. And so you have this second spiritual truth that Paul's talking about, that Peter's talking about here. And I said to you earlier that our salvation is put on course by something that comes out of your mouth. Now, you know that. In fact, I want you to look at it real quickly. If you look at Romans chapter 10, I'm just going to take you to one scripture. And I only have one more point, because this is going to be a relatively short ministry, but I want you to see it. Romans 10, verse number 8 through 10. But what does it say? What did Moses say? What did God speak through Moses? What was the ancient principle of life? What did God teach Moses to tell the people about how to live in faith with him? But what does it say? The word is near you in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we are preaching. That if you confess with your mouth Jesus as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart a person believes, resulting in righteousness, and with the mouth he confesses, resulting in salvation. So how is the course of your life set? With your heart and with your mouth. Folks, learn this. Learn this and live. I learned this and am learning this, but I've learned this long, long, long years ago, that this is the viable key to learning how to live in faith, live with the Lord. And it has to do with an attitude. If I will learn to take charge over my lips and over my heart, and learn how to talk and how to say what I need to say, how to be a blesser and not speak curses into people's lives and not tear down people, but learn to build them up. If I'll do that in my marriage, if I'll do that in my life, if I'll do that around those that are around me, brothers and sisters, whoever it may be, I will do well. I'll have good days. I'll love life. I'll be blessed in my life. Do you see that, folks? Now, the third spiritual truth to apply, according to Peter, now this third truth is practical. First truth was community and marriage. The second truth is deeply personal, which has to do with your heart and your speaking. The third truth is very practical, and if you look at it, verse 11 of 1 Peter chapter 3, there's something else you must do. He must turn away from evil and do good. He must seek peace and pursue it. Are you getting the lesson? The one we talked about just before was with your heart and with your mouth. Now it has to do with turning, doing, seeking, and pursuing. Here he's talking about walking out life. This third principle has to do with walking out life. And where he tells you to turn from evil, it means to hate evil, to avoid evil, to abstain from evil, to have no fellowship with evil. to do good. What it means to what it meant to the people at that time to do good, it meant that every act of kindness and everything that you do to the glory of God. You do to the glory of the Lord Jesus. These are the good works the Holy Spirit gives us to do. Paul said that God gives us, the Holy Spirit has given us works before the foundation of the world. These are the good works. So we must do something. It has to do with turning, with doing, with seeking, and with pursuing. So this is the outwalking, that we must turn from evil and we must seek peace. In fact, Peter said we must seek peace and do something else about it. What does it say? And pursue it. Now, folks, listen very carefully. You have there's a priority given you as a child of God. We are to make godly peace the affair of our life, the direction of our life, the composure of our life, the meaning of our life. It is our purpose on this planet as children of God to bring about peace in situations where there's disharmony, to bring peace to hurting hearts and hurting lives. Not only does he say you need to seek peace, but you need to pursue it. It needs to be, this needs to be the primary role of a son and daughter of God. Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. We can quote that, but if you'd like to look at it, listen to what Jesus calls a very special blessing, a very special blessed people. And this is what's called the Beatitudes. Verse 9 says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." They shall be called sons of God. They shall be called daughters of God because they're fulfilling their calling. They're fulfilling their role in this earth of bringing peace. And they're drawing from God's peace and they're bringing God's peace into the various situations. And the Bible says they're going to be called children of God because they're bringing peace where there couldn't be any peace before. Now, so you make godly peace the affairs and the aim of your life. That's your primary job. And by the way, what kind of shoes are we supposed to wear? Do you remember? The Bible tells you there's a certain kind of shoe. If you look at Ephesians 6 and 15, and I only have a couple more three scriptures to look at with you folks. But if you look at when it talks about putting on the armor of God, notice what it tells you needs to be shod on your feet. Verse 15 says, in all the armor that you're using, 15 says, "And having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." See, the gospel is God's peace to the world, joy to the world, God's peace to the world. The gospel is a gospel of peace and not of war. So we are to bring peace to troubled hearts. In fact, if you remember, if you want to compare this to the model scripture of Christian Challenge, if you go back to Isaiah 52, and I only have this and one more scripture I'll share with you, but if you go back to Isaiah 52, this is the model scripture. This is the scripture God gave me back in 1976 with a song that He gave me, that I wrote for Him, for the church. Isaiah chapter 52. And drop down to verse number 6. "Therefore my people shall know my name. Therefore in that day I am the one who is speaking. Here I am." And here we go. I'm reading it out of the New American Standard. The song comes out of the King James. "How lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace." Now, in the Bible, mountains is a terminology for nations, the nations of the world. Whenever missionaries go out, they go out with a message from heaven. It is a message that God gives them. And that message is the message of peace, that peace that comes from God, that comes through His Son, Jesus Christ. You've heard me use this illustration many times, but God has had me use it, and I still use it. But I said to the church in Honduras that I come to you as an ambassador from the kingdom of God. I have a message for you from the King. And I began to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ. "Well, how lovely on the mountains are the feet of him who brings good news, who announces peace, and brings good news of happiness, who announces salvation and says to Zion, your God reigns. And it talks about the watchmen have the same message. So this is very important that we understand these particular principles of life. And so Peter's talking about three that were outlined. You could have broke it down more. We could have broken it down more if you'd like. But there's three spiritual truths that every child of God needs to learn to apply to your life. What is the first truth? Learn to live in spiritual harmony. That's the harmony of heaven. That's heaven's harmony. That's a godly harmony in your with your wife, with your husband, with those that are around you. Learn to be in harmony with heaven. You know, folks, let me say something to you that's one of the simplest truths you'll ever learn. All the troubles you get into in the flesh. All the victories you're ever going to have, you're going to have them in the spirit. You learn to live a spiritual life, you'll have victory. You learn to live a flesh life, and you're going to have more problems than you know what to do with. You'll be blaming God and everybody else for all the problems that you caused. Amen or oh me. See, these are absolute truth. These are things that apply to Adam and Eve and all the way through the Bible. They don't change it because they're in the new covenant and that, you know, or that David talked about them. So that first one is learning to live in spiritual harmony. And you can't do that outside the Spirit. If it's spiritual harmony, it's got to be of the Spirit. The second one I said is equally important. If you learn this one, folks, learn to control your heart and your speaking. Judge things in your heart before it comes out of your mouth. Does this need to be said? Is this a blessing? Will this encourage somebody? Am I being selfish? Am I being self-centered? Am I trying to manipulate and do my thing and produce the results that I want? What is my motive? What is my attitude about this? Do I want to bring blessings? Do I want to be a blessing? Do I want people to look at me and consider me to be a blessing? See, this is very important. Well, it's going to be dependent on your heart and what's coming out of your mouth. That's the second one. Learn that and live. And the third one we said has to do with turning from evil and seeking peace. Now, why did Peter quote from David? It's because lived blessings never change. And I'm going to conclude my short ministry. I want you to go back to Psalm 34, where David gives us these teachings. And Peter drew from this. And by the way, the scripture we just read in Isaiah 52, Peter quotes from that, not Peter, Paul quotes from that in Romans chapter 10 about the beautiful feet on the mountains. I'm going to read this psalm and then I'll conclude my ministry here. Listen to what David said. This is going to give you a broader context that Peter drew from. I will bless the Lord Fill it in. I will bless the Lord at all times. You know, Sister Gail, I'm going to have to pick on you now. I heard a wonderful compliment about you today. Somebody that's known you for years and years and said that is the most beautiful person, Christian spirit, in her speaking. Said she always blesses. She always seems to be happy. She always seems to have composure. And Brother Warren is the one that said that to me. So he admires you an awful lot, sis. But I wanted to pass that on to you. But what I'm asking you to do is listen to the language. Listen, apply this to your life. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. They're going to hear what's coming from my mouth, and it's going to create something in their hearts and in their minds that's going to cause them to start rejoicing. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He answered me, and delivered me from all my fears. You living in fears? There's a way to get deliverance. We talked about that before, right? They looked to Him, that is the community of Christ, God's people. They looked to Him and were radiant, and their faces will never be ashamed. They won't have that sorrowful, mournful look on their faces. Their faces will be radiant with the joy and the peace of the Lord. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear the Lord, you his saints. For those who fear him, there is no want. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who seek the Lord shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves length of days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. The Lord redeems the soul of his servants, and none of those who take refuge in him will be condemned. You remember what Paul said about being condemned? Romans 8:1, therefore there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, because God set in motion a law of redemption, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Do you remember what we said about your words? Your words are setting the course of your life. I realize people can just tear this teaching apart if they want to, but it all begins with your attitude. And I said at the very beginning of this teaching, check your attitude. Look at your attitude. Living by faith is not hard, folks. It has to do with an attitude of life. Are you willing to do the homework, to learn what's right, to learn what's true, to do things God's way, and to learn live in spiritual harmony? Faith is not even an issue. You're designed to walk by faith. You're designed to trust in the Lord. You're designed to walk on top of the water when God says, come. You're designed to do awesome things before the Lord if we'll arrange our hearts before him. And if we'll learn to walk in a covenant relationship with him, God will do awesome things in your life. Amen. Or old me. I don't know how many of you folks remember. 25 years ago, I guess, Nathan will remember. Fishers will remember. We had a brother with us from... used to come on Friday nights. His name was Pierre Coco. We talked about Pierre the other night. And every time I'd preach, Pierre was the loudest one in the congregation. He's a Cajun brother. And every time I'd say, amen or oh me, Pierre would holler out, oh me. Well, Pierre went to be with Jesus. He belonged to the Lamb of God. And we all go in one day. But how about in the mean? How about in the nasty now and now? Don't we want to learn how to live? You see, if you'll take these principles to heart, there's certain truth. If you'll study them through to, for yourself and see that they are truth, they're bona fide truth, they're truths that remain the same throughout God's Word, not just some name it, claim it, and frame it kind of stuff, but I mean, you actually realize that there are truths there that I can apply to my life. And I set my attitude, Lord, you are a man of your word. You gave me your word when Jesus came into this world. He came into my heart. You gave me your word that you'd save me. And you gave me your word that you would teach me how to live. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, I worship you. Amen. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your name. We thank you for this short ministry, Lord, but it's been resting on my heart all this week, Lord. I shared some of it with my Shepherd's Heart class, Lord. But I thank you for these truths. They serve as a reminder to me, Lord, that the future is yours, and that I can walk, and that we all can walk into your future, guided by your hand, learning to live the way you want us to live. We do have some responsibility, Lord, in learning to do what's right in your sight. I remember what you said in Psalm 50, to the rebellious person, what right do you have to take my covenant in your mouth? And you talk about the things that he did. But Lord, you have created a covenant walk for all of us, and you gave us your Holy Spirit to teach us how to live in covenant relationship. Help us now, Father, to make sure our attitude is what it needs to be, that we might bear witness to a life that belongs to you. I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.